Sovereign Grace Chapel, located at 135 Annabelle Lane in Beaver, West Virginia, invites you to listen to a gospel message concerning Jesus Christ our Lord.
If you wish to follow along, turn to Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1. I will be in verse 16 and 17 again. Of course, last week I was not here, but the 2 weeks prior to that I dealt with this verse. We'll try to deal with this verse again today. And I will certainly not exhaust all that's in these two verses. Paul wrote these words, Romans 1 verse 16, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein," that is in the gospel, "for therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, the just shall live by faith." Briefly as introduction, because I will not deal in detail with this phrase, "to the Jew first and also to the Greek." Do not think of this in the sense of the Jew was superior and the Gentile inferior, therefore the Jew deserved the gospel first. It had nothing to do with it. This is simply about God's sovereign design. God's sovereign design. And that's about all I'm going to say about that. Let me get into this in earnest. Paul makes clear in this short passage, Paul makes clear that the gospel is limited in scope, intention, and purpose. The gospel is not limited in power, but it is limited in scope, in intention, and purpose. For he makes this statement about the gospel, "For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith."
Amen.
Now, I realize that if you or I were to take up various commentaries, however many commentaries we were to read, we would probably get about that many different explanations of this phrase, "from faith to faith." I understand that. And I don't mean by what I'm going to say this morning to be critical. But this phrase, "from faith to faith," lets us know this: for therein is the righteousness of God revealed in the gospel.
Yes.
So this righteousness is revealed from faith. That's a faith that precedes, accompanies, and continues after the gospel.
Yes, sir. Exactly.
But it's to not a different faith,
no,
but a different, and this is where, you know, a different aspect, a different facet. There is but one faith.
Exactly.
But it's revealed. That is, the righteousness of God is revealed in the gospel. Therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. Now, I will not stand here this morning and try to pick apart what I believe some have wrote or said that does not actually explain this phrase. So, as I said, so far from these two verses, 3 weeks ago we talked about the gospel of Christ. And the gospel is the gospel of God concerning His Son.
Yes, sir.
If you leave the person and work of Christ, you've left the gospel.
Amen.
Exactly. I mean, it's that simple.
Yeah.
It's not about, though, and I know this could be misunderstood, it's not about, do I believe that God, through sovereign fiat, spoke the world into existence. That is absolutely true.
Yes, sir.
And if you believe this book, you'll believe that is true.
Amen.
But that in and of itself is not the gospel.
Right.
Satan believes that his God created this world with his own words. Satan knows God created him. And Satan, I said this at a funeral one time, the guy automatically knew I was a Calvinist. Satan can't spit unless God gives him say so.
That's right.
He can't spit. The gospel is about Christ. 2 weeks ago, we looked at the gospel defined. Paul does not define the gospel here. He mentions its power, and that therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, to the Jew first and also to the Greek, to everyone that believeth. But he doesn't deal with the details. I tried to define those details somewhat a couple weeks ago. Today, I want to look at this. This is not my title. Gospel recipients. In other words, here's my title. Here's my subject. Who truly benefits from the gospel?
Yeah, there you go.
Who truly benefits from the gospel? This book is clear. Reality makes it clear.
Yes.
The book makes it clear. Reality makes it clear. Not all do benefit from the gospel.
You're right.
Is that not a reality?
Yes, sir.
Has everyone who's ever heard the gospel preached benefited from the gospel? No. As a matter of fact, you know the passage. We don't turn to it. Peter says there's some people, it had been better for them not to have heard the way of truth.
Exactly.
Than after they've turned, or after they've heard it, to turn from that holy commandment which was delivered unto them.
Amen.
So again I say, Paul makes it clear that the gospel is limited in scope and intention, in purpose, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. Now, rather than me bungling this, you hear what I said? Rather than me bungling this with many words, I just have three passages that I want to give you that show us this truth. Only some benefit from the gospel. Others do not benefit from the gospel. And let me just stop. Turn to Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4. Remember, the subject, my title, my subject, it's all this. Who truly benefits from the gospel? Hebrews 4, verse 1. The writer says, "Let us therefore fear, lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest," and that rest is the Christ of God. I don't have time to go into it, but it's the Christ of God. "Of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it." Do not ever take this thing for granted.
Exactly.
Don't ever take it for granted.
Amen.
Somebody said, "Well, I believed this all my life." You're a liar.
Exactly.
You ain't believed this all your life. As one lady told Henry Mahan, or it may have been a man, I don't remember right off. She said, "Well, I've been a believer all my life." He said, "That's impossible."
Exactly.
That's impossible.
That's exactly right.
Hebrews says, "For," here's why we should fear. Take this thing seriously. Do not be flippant or presumptuous about this matter. "For unto us was the gospel preached, as well unto them." The context is those Jews in the wilderness. Those whose carcasses fell in the wilderness because of unbelief.
Yeah.
"For unto us was the God." Now notice it doesn't say, "For we had a gospel preached to us just like they had a gospel preached to them." That's not what he says, is it? "For unto us was the gospel preached as well as the gospel was preached unto them." The same gospel.
That's right.
Now maybe more detail now.
Yeah.
And Joe, as you, now we know his name. It is Jesus of Nazareth, the Lord. We know his actual human name, Jesus of Nazareth. "For unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them." But the word preached, that's the gospel now.
Yeah.
"But the word preached did not profit them."
Exactly.
Is that what it says?
What it says.
"Did not profit them." Why? Yeah. "Not being mixed." And that word, if you translate it another, you could say commingle.
Yeah.
Like this. "Not being mixed with faith in them that heard it."
Amen.
There is a from faith to faith. Now, let me rephrase that. This is an illustration of a lack of from faith to faith. It defines to us what from faith to faith is. When the faith of the gospel, that is the truth of the person and work of Jesus Christ, is preached, it must fall upon ground, that is ground that is a good heart. A heart that God has bestowed life within and faith within. And then we hear this truth. Faith cometh by hearing. And hearing by the Word of God. Amen. Now, as I've said before, it does not state faith comes into existence by hearing. Because faith is eternal. Because faith is a fruit of God. And a fruit of God only. And listen to me, I've said it before, but I was wrong. God don't create faith in His elect when He regenerates and converts them. He gives them faith when He regenerates them, and He gives them faith that is then manifested when they hear the gospel from faith to faith.
Amen.
They believe.
Amen.
They believe. Now someone says, well, then men or women are lost because God don't give them faith. Wrong. Wrong. Men and women are lost because of unbelief.
Amen.
And unbelief is not a lack of faith. Because I am persuaded I have faith right now. But I also know. I also know I have unbelief right now. So faith is not the absence of unbelief. Unbelief is not the absence of faith. Unbelief is positive disbelief in God.
Exactly.
Men do not profit from the gospel unless God gives them faith.
That's right.
Amen. But men perish because of their unbelief.
That's right.
Now, I have to drop that, right? Because the more I try to explain that, the more I say, well, I will fog the issue. But folks, that is the truth.
Right.
Here's another passage, 2 Corinthians chapter 2. 2 Corinthians chapter 2. Now, this is nothing new. But I was just trying to emphasize, who truly benefits from the gospel? Not all benefit. Those old Jews back there in the wilderness, not all of them benefited, did they? They perished in the wilderness because of what? Unbelief.
Amen.
Because faith, the faith that's preached in the gospel, must be commingled with faith inside an individual.
Right.
2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14, Paul writes, "Now thanks be unto God, which always causes us to triumph in Christ, and maketh manifest the savor of His knowledge by us in every place." Now, this doesn't mean that the apostle or a prophet or a missionary or a pastor teacher or a believer is going to triumph in everything they do. That is not what he's talking about here. But it don't matter who you are. If you're a believer, apostle, prophet, missionary, an evangelist that calls it in the KJV, a pastor, teacher, or a believer who's witnessing to someone else of the truth of Christ. When we testify to the truth of the person and work of Christ, it always triumphs.
Amen.
But does that mean everybody that hears it always believes?
There you go.
No.
Right.
I mean, reality proves that to us, does it not? But look, for we are unto God a sweet savor of Christ, in them that are saved and in them that perish.
Amen.
To the one, we're a savor of death unto death. You see, for an unregenerate individual, when they hear the gospel, it is nothing to them but death.
You're right.
It is not good news to them. Though it is good news.
Yes, sir.
It is death unto death. And to the other, the savor of life unto life. And of course the question comes up, and who is sufficient for these things?
Amen.
Who is it because of the preacher?
No.
Has nothing to do with the preacher. You have three men that preach to you almost every Sunday. We have one missing today. Preaching somewhere else. And our styles and manners and delivery is all three different. all three different. But salvation doesn't depend upon the deliverer who's preaching the message. It depends upon the power of God.
Amen.
Now God will use live preaching. Some may be listening to me live over electronic devices. Some may hear this not live, but hear it recorded later, Joe.
Yep.
Or some may, because we're not putting this in writing, may read a message written out of men that preached years ago when they didn't even have recording devices.
Yes, sir.
Still the gospel.
Exactly.
And you can read that, and if God Almighty accompanies that in power, and it's the gospel,
yes, sir.
It'll be life unto life.
Amen.
But no matter how true it is, how eloquently delivered or how uneloquently delivered the deliverer gives the message, if that person is dead in trespasses and sins, it will be a message of death unto them. But it's a sweet savor to God in Christ nonetheless.
Amen.
For we are not as many which corrupt the word of God, but as of sincerity, but as of God in the sight of God, so speak we in Christ. 1 Peter chapter 2. Is there any question? Is there any question to the reality? Does the gospel benefit everyone? No. No. As a matter of fact, the gospel only adds to some men's condemnation. And I quoted that from Peter. It would been better for them not to. Does that mean they wouldn't have went to hell? Wouldn't have perished? No, sir. But when a man or woman hears the truth and then disbelieves God, it adds to their condemnation. Now, Mac, what that means in the judgment and in hell, lake of fire, I don't know. But I know God said so. It'll be more tolerable for Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than for some people that Christ preached to and they rejected Him.
Exactly.
Their problem wasn't they didn't have faith. Their problem was they disbelieved God.
Amen.
But the only way the gospel will profit you or I is God gives us faith.
Amen.
1 Peter chapter 2. Now let's look at starting verse 6. Wherefore also, it is contained in the scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. What's that mean? Have you ever been confounded, confused when you read the Bible? Yeah, I have. And if you're telling me this morning you ain't, I'm going to call you a liar right now. That's just the way it is. What it's about, you will not be ashamed or offended in Jesus Christ.
Amen.
That's what it's talking about. It doesn't mean you're going to understand all this book. No, you ain't going to understand all this book. And do you therefore which believe he is, what? Precious. And that's the whole thing.
Amen.
I mean, I cannot tell absolutely, but I can tell, at least in some quasi manner, whether Christ is really precious to a person or not. And we'll look at that here in a moment. Unto you therefore which believe, he is precious. But unto them which be disobedient. So see, it's not just the absence of believing.
Yeah.
It's not the absence of believing, it is being disobedient that is their problem.
Yeah.
That's the problem. God doesn't send men to the lake of fire simply because God was pleased to damn some people. Men and women are damned. They're judged because of their sin and sins against God. Unto you therefore which believe is precious, but unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, and that's what men do when they're in unbelief concerning Christ, they disallow Him.
Yeah.
Oh, they have a spurt of emotion for a little bit. But it don't last. The only time they usually have a spurt of emotion is when somebody else is talking to them about the gospel. We're going to look at, I'm talking about a time when you're by yourself and ain't nobody but you and God around. And God's got you hedged in so that you can't turn up or down or left or right or forward or backward. That's what I'm talking about. Disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner. And a stone of stumbling, and a rock of offense unto them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed.
Amen.
But there's a group of people that that's not true about. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people. How did we get that way? Through an act of God in Christ Jesus. That ye should show forth the praises of Him who hath called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. At one time you were no people, but now you've attained what? Mercy. Mercy. Now three things. I'll give you these three things. I have one passage for each of these three things. I will make some comments from those passages. And then we will close this thing out. Turn to Mark chapter 16. Mark chapter 16. This is my first point. Mark chapter 16. Now, remember, who truly benefits from the gospel? My first point. Are you there? Mark 16. All are to have the gospel preached unto them.
Yes, sir.
You hear me? All are to have the gospel preached unto them. Someone says, well, and they kind of rationalize these things. The natural mind tries to, well, if it's not for all people, why do we preach it to all people? Because we don't know who God's elect people are.
Amen.
We don't know. They don't have a mark on their outside somewhere. They don't wear certain kinds of clothes. There's one of the elect. I'll preach to them. Look at what our Lord told the disciples. In Mark chapter 16, just two verses. And He said unto them, this is Christ speaking, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Now I ask you, does that mean we go preach to dogs and cats and lizards and snakes? Of course not. That's not what that's talking about. This is talking about humankind. Trees are creatures. Now they may not be sentient creatures as we claim we are. I've heard that phrase before. But they are a created thing. You don't go preach to the trees. Look, go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. Again, the natural mind, the unregenerate mind, the unbelieving mind says, well, it must be them because God wants to save every creature. Isn't that a natural conclusion? Yes. It is a natural conclusion. But I'm going to tell you something. These disciples, right at this time, still didn't get the magnitude of what Christ was saying to them.
Right.
Because when Peter had that vision, remember, that sheep come down, all them polywogs, as Earl used to say, and gophers and frogs and catfish, and God said, slay and eat. And Peter said, not so, Lord. I ain't nothing ever unclean entered these lips.
Yeah.
Hmm? God wasn't talking about those creatures. He was talking about humankind creatures.
Right.
Now what's the point I'm trying to make? In the Old Testament, it is prophesied that God's people will be scattered throughout all the world.
Yes, sir.
And God would gather them into Christ out from all the world.
Right.
Never ever did God ever declare or preach, never has He preached or declared in this book that He wants to save all humankind without exception. Never. Even John 3:16 lets us know that.
Exactly.
For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish. So therefore, it's only for who? Believers.
That's right.
Believers. And I can say it this way. Christ died for believers.
Yes, sir.
And nobody else. Now, He died for those believers before they were believers, but He died only for believers.
Right.
And they'll all come to believe and believe what? Look. And he that believeth what?
Yeah.
Anything? Everything? Some things? Deep things? Shallow things? Believes Christ.
Amen.
I know it don't say that there, but it says that there.
Yes, sir.
Now, you hear what I'm saying? Because you either believe Christ or you'll perish. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Don't you shrug that off. Don't you shrug that off. Because if you truly believe Christ, you are going into the waters of baptism.
Yes,
you will submit to His command.
Yes, sir.
That's right. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. But he that believeth not. And that's all it takes. It's not he that is baptized not. He that believeth not, what does it say? Shall be damned.
Amen.
So Christ is actually telling us here, Actually, he was telling the disciples, this is not a command for me to go into all the world. I can't do that. This is not even a command for this local assembly only to go into all the world. We can't do that. I guess in extent, though, we maybe are now, aren't we? With the electron, there are people maybe in Zimbabwe today listening to me preach. I don't know. Amazing. But yet, what does he say? Some people's not going to believe. Now, what he says here? And they shall be what? Damned. And justly so. It's not a sad consequence. From God's perspective, it might be mine if I'm an unbeliever. But God purposed it so. So all are to be preached to. But it's not because God's trying to save everybody. It's because God has His children scattered throughout all the world. Even Ananias preached that and didn't know he was preaching that. When he said it's expedient that this man die not only for this nation, but for the whole world. For everybody. He was saying this man needs to be dead and gone. He's causing too much trouble. But the book tells us he being the high priest that year spake by the power of the Spirit of God. He didn't know what he was saying, but he was saying that all the children of God should be scattered from all over. Huh? That's what it's about. Here's the second thing. But all preached to will not benefit. Acts chapter 13. This was prophesied in the Old Testament. Paul preaching in Acts 13, we recorded this, now therefore. Wait a minute, I'm in the wrong chapter. Acts chapter 13. Be it known, verse 38. Be it known unto you therefore, men and brethren, that through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins. Not that you can have forgiveness of sins, but that forgiveness of sins is wrought by this man. It's preached to you, not offered to you. It's preached to you. And by Him, all that believe are justified from all things by which ye could not be justified by the law of Moses. Beware therefore, lest that come upon you, which is spoken in the prophets. Some people are going to hear this and will not ever be able to believe. Now, I paraphrase that, but you read it for yourself. Is that what it says? Here's the third thing. Who really benefits? Turn to 1 Thessalonians. Now this, my time is about up as far as time for a TV broadcast. So those who made us hear it on TV, if you want to hear the rest of it, you'll just have to go back. This will all be recorded, God willing. But I'm going to park here for just the next last few minutes. Who really benefits from the gospel? 1 Thessalonians 1.